half sheet with Hark on one side and Oh Little Town on the other. And I love hearing parts. That's why I copied these with the soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. And so you pick a part, and we're going to sing this a cappella in response to that text. All righty? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise. Thank you. Reading this morning from Micah chapter 5, you have in your worship folder a half sheet with the scripture on one side and an attempt at an outline the other. The problem is the outline gets printed Wednesday and the sermon isn't ready yet. So hold it loosely. Micah chapter 5. The lectionary reading is verses 2 through 5, but I couldn't leave it there. We need to read 1 through 6 to set the stage for this text. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. The word of the Lord. Lord, you have words for us who are squeezed by siege engines that are laid against our walls and by Assyrians coming into our land. You tell us that one comes and he feeds. He is peace. This fourth Sunday of Advent, we pray, O come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Let's again do a close reading of Micah chapter 5. We practice worship. This 1 hour of worship is practice for life that's lived the rest of the week. That's why we do it sort of liturgically and very specifically. Practices are also always very specific. So worship is that way because life isn't. And so we practice specifically so that we can live life, the messy life, through the rest of the week. And in the preaching lately, that's what I've been attempting to do, is to have us practice together close reading of Scripture so that in the rest of the week, when you're having your own devotions and living out of a quiet center, you have some handles on how to do it. So let's do a close reading of chapter 5 of Micah, this section. And I'd like you to notice three things as we read through it. Let's notice how freely prayer flows from Scripture. There's a fusion of Scripture reading and prayer, prayer and Scripture, and you never know where one begins and one ends when you're sitting with Scripture, because normally Scripture will lead into prayer and prayer back to Scripture. So we'll notice that fusion, that how prayer freely flows this morning. Second, let's notice how other Scriptures can help us interpret the Scripture that we're using. Sometimes it's confusing, we're not quite sure, and we can bring in other Scriptures. Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture, so we're going to do that this morning. And then third, the powerful metaphors that are in this text. Metaphors are normally two or three lettered words that can get lost. They don't have a lot of pop to them unless we pay attention to them. And when we pay attention to them, we realize they are powerful and have a lot of pop. So let's do that this morning as we're reading, doing this close reading of Micah 5. So we'll notice some things. That's what we do with close reading. We notice. Notice that in verse 1 and in verse 6, there's a vice, there's squeezing going on. Siege is laid against the walls of the city, and the Assyrians are about to tromp through our land. The Assyrians are infamous for impaling people on poles and then sticking the poles in the ground. These people are being squeezed. This text is being squeezed this morning. Notice the first word of the text that we're supposed to read, the lectionary reading, verse 2, is but. And then notice the first word in verse 3 is therefore. Those are significant words. So you have this squeezing, but. But indicates hope. It's a contrast. But. You always pay attention to but. You underline it, you circle it, and you say, okay, now I want to listen up here. But. And then notice the prepositions, from Bethlehem. And notice the descriptive word of Bethlehem, little. From you, little Bethlehem. One will come, and notice this one is from, another preposition, of old and from ancient. From of old. Eric is going to put Genesis chapter 12 up on the screen. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God's project from the very beginning was that he would raise up a people. Abraham would be the father of this nation, and this nation would be raised up to be a blessing to all the peoples on the earth. God's project from the very beginning was that all peoples, all nations would be blessed. And the means was through this nation of Israel. This one who is coming from Bethlehem is going to be tattooed with that mission. From of old, from the ancient. This is nothing new here. God's mission has been steady throughout time. This one is not going to come from the Big Apple. This one is not going to come from the City of Lights. With apologies to Jim Morrison and the Doors. He is going to come from Bethlehem, City of Bread. Come on, God. Surely you can do something better than bread. Boring bread. Not big, not loud, little bread from of old. Eric is going to put up Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 3. These are some lectionary readings that you would have read this week if you're following the lectionary readings, Isaiah 42. And you'll notice in this reading that this one who comes is not going to cry out loud in the street. He is the one who will not break a bruised reed or put out a dimly burning wick. When he shows up, he doesn't blast into the room and knock people down. He's very careful of bruised reeds. And when he comes, they won't get snapped off. And if you happen to be sputtering and smoky and kind of messing up the room with your wick, he doesn't say, let's get that wick out of here. We need a nice, clear, big deal here. He puts up with smoky rooms. He doesn't pinch out dimly burning wicks. This one from this littlest clan from of old is going to come in quietly. And then notice in this same verse, he'll come from for me. We'll come back to that in a few minutes. And then to, another preposition, to rule. From, for, and to. The to is a kind of a so that word. He is going to be ruling out of this same mission in Genesis chapter 12. He's going to be ruling and trying to move this nation forward so that it can be the kind of light. From, to, for, and to. But then verse 3 starts with a therefore. Okay, whenever we see a therefore again or a so that, we want to sit up and pay attention. And notice what this one is doing or will do. First of all, the text says he gives them up, and then he brings them back. He gives them up. Here's where other scriptures might help us. Who's the them, first of all, that he is giving up? And Erica's going to put up again some other verses from Micah, the same book, in chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2, this is describing who the them are and what they do. They're 24/7 preoccupied with evil and wickedness. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, you see it's the leadership that are the ones that are kind of setting the stage for this sort of thing. You know that when leaders act certain ways, the people either are blessed because of their leadership or suffer because of it. And Micah is saying, speaking for the Lord, that your leaders have acted a certain way, and now you're going to be given up. Give up. What kind of a one who we said doesn't break a bruised reed or put out a smoldering wick, what kind of a one would this be who would give them up? Well, again, this is another scripture might help us get a handle on this. And we'd go to Romans chapter 1. That same language is used in Romans chapter 1. And we see that in verses 18 and 19 and in verse 24 of Romans chapter 1, the notion that that people have known the truth or can know the truth, it is plainly known to them, but they have covered it over. They've allowed it to be covered over in wickedness. And their wickedness has been like layers and layers and layers of callous over the truth, so that they have set a trajectory for themselves. They are in a deep rut. And so you see in Romans, chapter 1, that eventually God gives them up, gives them over to the lusts of their mind. This is a God who allows you, gives you free will. And if you choose, or these people in Micah's time, choose to consistently lay on their beds 24/7 and plot evil, and if the leaders are constantly messing things up, this one will eventually say, okay, you can have your way. I will give you up to your own desires, your own trajectory. And they go in off into exile. And like a woman in labor, this exile is like labor pains. How long will they last? Well, this same one who gives them up will also bring them back. And the doctor presents this brand new baby girl to this mother who's been in labor pains, and this little girl has 10 fingers and 10 toes, and there's rejoicing at this return. The giving up and the bringing back. That's what this one does. Go on down. Notice that this one then feeds. And I love the language in verse 4. He feeds his flock. Don't stop there because the prophet doesn't. Notice again the preposition. In the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. In the majesty. Being fed in the majesty of the name of the Lord our God. I guess I have to confess to you, brothers and sisters, my mind can't wrap itself around that. What would that look like? What would that taste like to be fed in the majesty of the name of the Lord my God? I hardly think it would be leftover pizza that I would eat standing at the kitchen counter. I'm sure the Satos and I think the Wallaces are going to have prime rib at Christmas. To be fed in the majesty of the name of the Lord my God. Erica's going to put up chapter 42 of Isaiah, verses 5 through 9. This helps us get at what some of this majesty or strength of the name of the Lord our God is like. This is the God we're talking about here. This God, and I'm being fed in his name, the strength of his name. I like leftover pizza, but not that much. This is going to be much better. Lord, enlarge my capacity to see the feast that you prepare for me. Enlarge my imagination. My imagination is limited. Enlarge it, Lord, so that I can at least catch a whiff of what this prime rib feasting might be like. I need you to enlarge my imagination. May it be so. Amen. And then finally, this one will bring security and peace. Security and peace will be with this one. When Beverly read, she read that the angels declared glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those that are favored. Notice that he'll bring peace for, the preposition again, for. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. The peace is connected to his greatness. You can choose to go back to the ramparts and look over the walls and moan and groan about the siege engines laid against your wall. You can cock your ear and pay attention to the Assyrian troops marching into your soil. Or you can pay attention to the preposition for he will be great to the ends of the earth. Lord, shift our focus from the wall to the one in whom there is peace. I couldn't help but remember then Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm, a familiar psalm. There's a line in there. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He doesn't destroy my enemies. He doesn't quiet my enemies. He doesn't bring me into peaceful pastures. But in the presence of my enemies, while my enemies are clamoring, while their boots are tromping down my street, somehow the mystery, the incredible hilarity of this thing is that this one can prepare a table before me, and I get to sit down and eat in security and peace in the presence of my enemies. Lord, I don't get that. I would prefer to eat without the sound of the boots in my ears. But somehow you can pull off peace while these guys are marching down in front of my house. Lord, enlarge my imagination so that I can see what you're up to, this one. So Advent. We're in the fourth Sunday of Advent. In Advent, we prepare for the three comings of the Lord Jesus. Of course, the baby in the manger, this Prince of Peace who will come, and he, in flesh and blood, will help move God's project along to get this nation back to where it was called, where it was supposed to be a light to the world. The first coming. The second coming, he's going to come back one day, consummation. The Lord Jesus is going to return, and with him will be peace. We read this week one of the texts from Isaiah, the lion will lie down with the lamb in that day. But we reflect also and we prepare for Christ's coming this day. And this day, the offer from Micah is peace, a feast in the middle of our enemies. He feeds us in peace. I didn't struggle too long with a conclusion to this message because, oh, little town of Bethlehem, I think, did it. Let's sing our way south to Bethlehem this morning. And let's notice that as we sing the last verses of prayer. So let's sing, let's pray our way south into Bethlehem, into Micah 5. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the rest gift is given. So God impart of his end. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today.
We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. You can get in on more of this sort of thing tonight when you come. Gail and Ron and Adrian will be leading in a service of candle lighting and scripture and carol. They'll come on tonight. We respond this morning with singing, but we always respond with prayer, and that song was a prayer. We pray at the table of the Lord, the great Thanksgiving. We have prayer cards here from the community meal. We serve a meal to our community every Saturday. And the guests are asked to fill out a card if they'd like to be prayed for. And so some of these are in Spanish and some of these are in English. When you come by and get your bread and cup, you can pick one or more of these and take them home with you. And they're on red today. That's Christmas, right? Keep it tucked in your bathroom, in your mirror, and your Bible, and be praying every day for the needs from our community. We also have oil here. If you'd like to be prayed for, anointed with oil, or if you'd like to just come and kneel at the altar and pray, you can sure do that. If you're not a Christian this morning, you haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, but you sense that today's the day I need to do that, some of us will be staying up here at the front afterwards, and you can come and talk with us. Or if you'd like to just make your honest confession to God at the altar and do it on your own, you're sure invited to do that. But we want to conclude all of what we do here this morning with prayer. And one of the ways we do that is to pray the prayers of the people. You have prayer